Morning, go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to be in verses 1 through 14. So Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse number 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for this day that you have allowed us to be together. Father, I ask that you would guide us through the scriptures this morning. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would have the liberty, Lord, to take the word of God into our hearts, to teach us what we need to learn, to remind us of what we need to remember, to encourage us in the Lord, to comfort us where we need to be comforted, to challenge us where we need to be challenged, all the while helping our focus to be on Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that you bless the children in Junior Church. As always, let the word of God take root in their heart, open up their understanding, help them to understand the Bible lessons they're being taught. I pray, Father, that you would, Lord, draw them unto Christ. Help them, Father, to have that friendship with Jesus Christ, who is a friend that will never do them wrong, never lead them astray, but will always be there to encourage them, to help them, and to carry them many, many days. Father, I ask that you bless our time, Father, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to talk about having our firm foundation. And that last song that we sang, A Firm Foundation, obviously Dylan chose that. It's not in the bulletin. He chose it because I had some things I had to do. I came back in and he had already sung the last song, so he chose that one, which I believe that God always is in charge and God always orchestrates and guides everything. And that was just an encouragement to me that we sang that song, because Jesus Christ is the firm foundation that we can build our life upon, because it's a foundation that's unshakable. It's a foundation that's indestructible. You cannot destroy it. It's a foundation that brings encouragement. It's a foundation that brings stability. It's a foundation that brings joy and peace into our life. And this morning I want to talk about that foundation. But first, Jesus asked his disciples a question in Matthew 16. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" And the answers came back various. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're, you know, one of the other prophets. You know, just everyone had their opinion of who Jesus is. But what is your opinion of Christ? What is your opinion of Christ? Because that does matter. Because what we hold near and dear to our heart, we hold on to. Something that we know that is going to benefit us, we use it. Somebody that we know that will always be there for us, we try to be there for them. And the Lord Jesus Christ is that one. He's the one that brings stability into our relationship. He's the one that brings satisfaction and completion. He's the one that helps us to know that we're never alone, even when we might physically be alone and no one seemed to care and no one seems to understand, but yet Jesus Christ is the very one that does know and does care. And Peter responded because the Lord, when they gave their answers of what everybody else was saying, then he said, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of God. Later on in John 6:66, when everybody would leave Jesus, because Jesus said some things that were very hard to understand and in their mind kind of gross, because he said, except you drink my blood and eat my flesh, cannot be my disciple. And instead of letting the Spirit of God speak to their heart and give them the understanding of what Jesus was saying, they were offended and they all left. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, will ye leave also? And Peter said, well, where do we go? You have the words of life. And we know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We know that he has the words of life, and we know that he came to give life and to give it more abundantly. But again, each of us have to answer that question, who do you say Jesus is? Because who is Jesus to you? Is he your friend? Is he your comforter? Is he your joy? Is he your peace? Is he your buckler, your salvation, your high tower? Is he the one that you can count on and you know he's always there? Again, that firm foundation that we can build upon. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And there's probably not a single person in this room today that would disagree with Jesus is the way of salvation, and he's the only foundation that I can build my faith upon. And that's what it's about, building our faith upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. We just live in a day and age where many people have rejected Christ. There are many of God's own people that have walked away from the Lord, and they're not trusting the Lord anymore. They're not walking with the Lord. Again, as we see the foundation of Christ, and we're going to see some things this morning based on verses 10 through 14. But again, if we know that Christ is that firm foundation of our life, we know, as we celebrated last week, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know he lives. And how do we know he lives? He lives within my heart. Can I bring him to work with me tomorrow and say, hey, here's Jesus? No, but I can show them Jesus in me. I can share my relationship with Christ with others to let them know, hey, you can have joy and peace in your life. You can have confidence in Christ who will help you through your life. But as the child of God, our life is to be built upon that foundation. And as Jesus is the cornerstone, our life is to align with Christ. Remember in John, you know what, go to John chapter 14. Keep a finger in Philippians. We go back to John chapter 14. You have an enemy, and I will, just as Paul said in Philippians 3, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but to you is safe. I will always remind you that you have an enemy. Now, there are times where, you know, in our life, we'd rather not remember somebody because of what they did to us. There are times in a parent's life that when it's time to choose a name for their newborn child, they're thinking of names. People are giving, you know, their suggestions, you know, Michelle, Susan, Jezebel, Ahab, and they're giving their names out, and you're like, Why don't you like that name? Because I remember somebody in high school with that name or whatever, and we just, nope, I don't want that name. But when you look at John chapter 14, there's things in life that trouble us. Things that we can get upset about. The things that can shake our world, but never shakes the foundation of Christ. In John chapter 14, you look at verse 1. Jesus says to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Just stopping right there. Jesus, to calm the fears of his disciples, to calm the doubt, he says, "You believe in God, believe in me also." He goes on to say some other things, but again, for us, reminding ourselves of the foundation our life is built upon. And that foundation is Jesus Christ, who's always there for you. Think about, what does the foundation do? The foundation of this church holds the building up. It's on solid ground. You don't build something just, you know, in the dirt. I mean, unless you don't want it to stand very, very long. You know, I remember if you ever going to the beach and building little sandcastles, you know, you don't sit there and build a sandcastle right where the water's coming up, because it's gonna destroy your little castle. You're gonna have a hard time, you know, getting that castle to stand. You back up, but eventually the tide comes in and still takes it down. What am I saying is, you this morning, if you know Christ as your Savior, you've got a firm foundation. Don't forget about that foundation. Don't forget that you need to anchor yourself in that foundation. You need to find yourself knowing Christ and knowing more of him, as Paul says back in Philippians chapter 3. Go back to Philippians chapter 3 and look at verse number 10. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." I love the fact that it says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." Aren't you glad God knows you? Aren't you glad that God knows you and that you are on your way to heaven? And that you have a God in heaven who will never leave you nor forsake you, but he's given you and myself a foundation. He doesn't want us to forsake this foundation. The foundation will never be taken away, but there are times where we neglect the foundation. We stop looking at the foundation. We stop building on the foundation. We're told to build on it. What are we supposed to build? Our faith. What is it that's going to give us victory in this world? Our faith. Jesus said that our faith gives us the victory over this world because our faith is in Jesus Christ, who is the foundation of our faith, the foundation of our life. Look, if you would, at verse number 10 of Philippians chapter 3. Paul says, as he writes to the church at Philippi, and remember who's in Philippi, we know a couple of them. That's the Philippian jailer. That is the Lydia, the seller of purple. That's a young lady that was delivered from demon possession, that was giving her masters much gain, and who obviously got Paul and Silas cast into prison. But as he writes back to this church that has grown, he says in verse number 10, "That I may know him." That I may know him. Never stop learning about your Savior. Never stop learning about Jesus Christ. He's not just your Savior, but he's someone you can count on. He's someone you can call at any given day or any given time of the day. You can't call just anybody at 3:00 in the morning. There are those, obviously a parent would definitely, if a child or a grandchild called in need at 3:00, we'd be like, yes. But if someone just calls, "Hey, it's Jim Bob. It's been a long time, just wanted to call and chat," you'd be like, "It's 3:00 in the morning, call me back at 11, right? But we know that Christ is always there. He's the first one we should always run to when we have a problem. He's the first one we should always run to when we need encouragement, when we need an answer to prayer, when we need wisdom. But Paul says that I may know him. Paul never wanted to stop learning about his Savior. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Never stop learning about the love of God towards you. It doesn't stop at Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. We know that he came into the world to die for the sins of the world. We know that God loves us because we love him because he first loved us. But never stop learning about the love of God towards you. I know he loves me, but what does that mean? It means he's always there for you. It means he knows everything that bothers you. He knows what weighs heavy upon your heart. He knows what's troubling your mind. He knows what it is that you're going to face that you'd rather not face. And he's right there. He wants you to know that he loves you and that he will carry you through that. I want you to look with me at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, because there was a man whose heart was being drawn to Christ. John chapter 3, there were many being drawn to Christ during his earthly ministry, but there was a religious man who came to Jesus by night in John chapter 3. The Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Do you believe that God can still do miracles today? I think some of God's people, I'm not saying people in here, but there are some that think, you know, miracles were only in what they call Bible times. Well, it was only when Jesus was walking on this earth. How many of you have experienced a miracle in your life that you know only God could have done that? I have. Many of you have. And what does that testify to you? It testifies to you the love of God for you. Nicodemus, though, he was being drawn to the Lord, but he came at night because he was a Pharisee and he didn't want the other ones to know he was going to Jesus. But he tells him, I know you're from God because no one can do these miracles except they be from God, have the power of God to do these miracles. But also, why did Jesus do his miracles? You read through the gospel, you just read all the miracles that he did. It was for his love for people. Because you know what? There are times where people would rather cast you out. They could care less about you. That's what the Pharisees did with the woman caught in adultery. They brought her to Jesus, threw her at his feet and said, the law says she is to die, but what do you say? Well, the fact Jesus never condemns her. He says, go and sin no more once he finishes the whole ordeal. What I'm saying is, though others will be judgmental and point their finger, and even the devil brings up our past, yet we need to continue learning who Jesus is so that when we're faced with doubt, when we're faced with resentment, we're faced with ridicule, we're faced with rejection, we're reminded there's one that still loves me. There's one that still cares about me. There's one that stands by my side to help me when all others have forsaken me, and he's proven that love on the cross of Calvary. Again, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Think about this. Think about the love of God. When you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, it talks about charity. Charity being that extreme love, because it's unconditional, it's sacrificial. I love pizza, but I'm not going to die for pizza. I love pecan pie. Maybe. I don't think so. I would do a lot for pecan pie, but I don't think I'd die for it. But you think about the love of Christ. The more you learn about the love of Christ in your life, you know that he's always there. You know he's a forgiving God even when you mess up. But your enemy's always there trying to get your focus off of Christ, trying to get you to think that God is only the God of salvation. Now he's left the rest of my life up to me to figure it out and to try to win the race and finish the course all by myself. But as you continue to read your Bible, continue to walk with the Lord, and continue to experience the love of Christ in your life, you come to realize that, you know what? It's the power of Christ in my life that shows me that he loves me because he's helping me to win the race and to live the life that he wants me to win and to live. Look at verse 10, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 again. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. What is Paul talking about? This wanting to know his sufferings. Nobody wants to suffer. But to know Jesus' sufferings, why did he suffer the way he suffered? Because of his love for you. Because of his love for me. To fulfill the Father's will so that you and I could have a close relationship with a Heavenly Father. Because you know what? Before the crucifixion, no one could go into the Holy of Holies except for the high priest once a year. Everybody brought their sacrifices and everybody hoped that the priest would do everything right and then go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. But on that day when Jesus said, "It is finished," the veil was rent from top to bottom, giving us access to the Father. It's not just Sunday and Wednesday. It's every day that we have access to the Father. It's every day that he shows us his power in our life and his love. But again, the Christian life is to be lived to the power of Christ. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 says, "For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you." Notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom," though Paul was a very learned man. He was an eloquent man. I mean, he was a Pharisee. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I mean, he talks about just his pedigree. He talks about his upbringing. But yet he counted all of that dung for the excellency of Christ. But he says to the church at Corinth, "When I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." How are we to live the Christian life? Through the power of Christ. What is it that helps us to be Christ-like in our speech, in our manner, in our thinking? It is Jesus Christ. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. That your faith should stand in the wisdom of, or not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What is it or who is it that you rely on the most to get you through every day of your life? It should be Jesus Christ. Because it's only Jesus Christ who never fails. It's only Jesus Christ who has enough strength for us, enough grace, enough power, enough love. He's the only one that never gives up on us. Though family members may give up, friends may give up, the world may give up, yet he never gives up on us. He's that firm foundation. that we know will always be there. Look at verse number 12, Philippians chapter 3. Because we need to know his person. We need to continue learning about our Lord and Savior and the power that it is that he's given in our life to help us to live the life that he wants us to live. But we need to always remember that, again, his presence is there. Notice what Paul says in verse number 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. I follow after. Again, you remember what Jesus told his disciples when he would walk by? Follow me. Sometimes people put the cart before the horse. Sometimes people get ahead of what God's will is for their life. Sometimes they get ahead and say, Lord, follow me and bless what I'm doing and help me to do what I want to do, and you just come along. And then when things don't turn out right, we blame God for it. We want God to fix it. But Paul says, I follow after. Why? Because you can't go wrong following the Lord. I think I mentioned it in Sunday school. You know, have you ever had somebody sitting in the passenger seat giving you directions of where to turn? And have you ever been told the wrong direction, turn left? You turn left. No, the other left. Wait, you said turn left. Or how about this? How many of you follow that voice on your smartphone? You know, you punch in the GPS location, you know, and she or he, you know, whatever voice you have, whatever accent you have for your voice, whether it's Australian or whatever, you know, turn left in 500 feet. I don't want to turn left because I know if I keep going straight, I can get there a different way. How many of you have kind of manipulated sometimes that GPS? Because you know where you're going, but we're creatures of habit, or maybe we just like to have the GPS on and we put it on. And sometimes I've had mine even say, make a U-turn. No, I know where I'm going. I don't want to make a U-turn. But how many of you ever gotten lost listening to the GPS and it took you to a dead-end road facing a cornfield? Like, wait a minute, this is not where I'm supposed to be. This is not the location, right? We don't like to be told the wrong directions and end up in the wrong place. But when we follow Jesus Christ, we will never end up in the wrong location. We'll always end up in the center of his will. Psalm chapter 9, verse 10 says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. I put a little trust in the GPS, but not 100% trust. But I put full confidence in the Lord. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. We have a comfort that not only comforts us, but can comfort others as well. Again, we want to continue our relationship with the Lord, learning more about him, more about his power in our life, more about his presence in our life, that he's always there, never leaving us, never forsaking us. You know what? Go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I'm always reminded of Joshua because when Joshua became the next leader after Moses, and Joshua is having a conversation with God, they're about to go up against Jericho, and God tells Joshua how the procession is going to take place. You're going to have the priests out in the front. You're going to have them carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And wherever it goes, the people are to follow because they have not been this way before. And we are to follow the Lord because you know what? We haven't been this way before. We're heading straight ahead. I have not been into tomorrow yet. Haven't been into next week yet. Haven't been in the next month yet. Haven't been into the next phase of my life yet. You know, I'm just at the bottom of the hill. A lot of people have already, you know, topped the hill of life. I mean, they're on the downward. I'm at the bottom. I'm about to be 49. I know some want to say, oh, 50, you're over the hill. I'm at the bottom. I'm at the bottom, just starting to go up, and I haven't been this way before. Things are different. Have you noticed older people, older saints of the Lord, things are different now than years ago? Things are different even from 20 years ago in this world that we live in. Well, aren't you glad that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Never changes. The world changes. Fashions change. People's thinking changes, but he never changes. And that's a good thing because God encouraged Joshua with some words to help him as they entered the promised land and as they would travel through the promised land, conquering city after city, battle after battle. Some battles were won just by simply trusting God and letting God win the battle. Others, they had to fight. They had to, you know, do some work. That's just the Christian life. I love the battles where I don't have to do anything and God just does it. Because how many of us understand that when there is a battle that we have to physically be a part of, mentally and spiritually and emotionally, it takes a toll on you. I like the ones where God just, you know, parts the Red Sea and I just walk across and then see the enemy drown behind me. But this is where God had to encourage Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. For this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua had to be encouraged as he endeavored to be the next leader of Israel and to lead the people in the promised land. And God said, hey, don't let my words depart out of you. Keep them, meditate on them. Let them be the lamp unto your feet and the light unto your path. Let them comfort you. Let them guide you. Let them give you the enlightenment that you need, the wisdom that you need, because you're going to need all the encouragement you can get. How many of us have understood, you know what? I need all the encouragement I can from the Lord to keep going. I need all the encouragement from the Lord to keep standing on the foundation that's been laid for me, Jesus Christ. Again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know, Paul talked about being perplexed and troubled on every side, but yet he also talked about the fact that he was comforted knowing that Christ was with him, knowing that God was in control. Go back, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3. I want you to look at verse number 11. We talked about last week the resurrection, but I want you to think about your relationship with the Lord, how powerful it truly is. In verse 11, Paul says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Think about the resurrection. Think about what it means. Not only did Jesus conquer the grave, not only does he hold the keys of death and hell, not only did he rise again to give life, but it reminds us he has all power. He truly is King of kings and Lord of lords. People today need to be encouraged that there is somebody that can give them victory. You know somebody, and I know somebody that needs to be encouraged in the Lord. You and I need to be encouraged in the Lord and be reminded that, you know what? My hope is in the Lord. He's the blessed one that I'm looking for. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Don't forget, Jesus Christ has won the victory. He's already won the battle. What is it we have to do to win the battle? Nothing. Nothing. Go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15. Your adversary wants to draw you into a fight and into a battle that's already been won. And it was already won by Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have victory this morning through Jesus Christ? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You think about what you're doing for the Lord and how you're living your life for the Lord. It's not in vain. Though others may taunt it and say, it's not worth living for Jesus. Someone may say, you spend too much time in that Bible. You spend too much time at that church. Yeah, I think when we see Christ face to face, we realize, you know what? I didn't spend enough time with him. But I'm glad for his love and his grace. He understands our life because he lived life. He lived this life for us, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. We have a Savior who's faithful, one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And that's a tremendous encouragement, the fact that his grace towards you never changes. His love towards you never changes. And we have the hope of heaven in our future. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, if you would. 2 Peter chapter 1. We've already turned the corner. We're coming up to the finish line. We're almost done. And then you can get in your air-conditioned cars and just blast it so you can get cooled off. How many of you remember the days when there wasn't really an air conditioner in your car? Except rolling the window down. Remember that? Remember the old crank window? Now what do? We push a button. Right? I remember sitting in my grandfather's 67 Chevy pickup, and first time getting in it, he's like, well, roll the window down. Looking, going, how? You see that lever? And it wasn't easy either. I mean, these old things, you had to like two hands and just crank it down. But if you really wanted the airflow, remember you had the little window you had to flip open? That way it catched the wind. All right. So praise the Lord that your car isn't like that, hopefully. I don't know, maybe someone in here, their window, it doesn't work. I don't know. Anyway, when you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, not only do we have the hope of heaven in our future, but we have the help of heaven right now. Don't forget, because of the firm foundation that your feet are planted on, you have the help of heaven right now in your life. But listen, before I read this, God never forces his way into your life or into any situation you're in. Sometimes he sends you into the situation like he did his disciples. And he was just going to walk by them on the Sea of Galilee. When the disciples saw him, they screamed. They were afraid. But Paul says he was just going to walk by until they screamed out. Sometimes you have to scream out to get his attention because he just is going to walk by to see what you do. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life, mentally draw a line under that phrase in your Bible. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life. He's given you everything that pertains to your life. He's given you every answer. And that answer is in Jesus Christ. That answer is in your Lord and Savior. That pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The fact that you and I have help today because of Jesus Christ, because of that foundation that we have our feet planted on. Remember, the Bible tells us to be ready to give an answer to anyone that asks of the hope that lies within you. And you might, and sometimes, you know what? That might be hard to do when our focus isn't right. When we've lost focus that, you know what? Jesus Christ is my answer. Though the storm is beating against my house, though the winds are blowing against it, the waves are crashing against it. Remember what Jesus gave that parable, gave that story of the two houses, one built on solid ground, one built on sinking sand. They both had the same storm come against it, but only one stood strong, and that was the one built upon that firm foundation. Look, very quickly, go to verse 13 of Philippians chapter 3. In verse 13, Paul writes, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." What is it that holds a lot of people back from moving forward in their life? It's their past. It's their past. Either their past failures or somebody in their past that did them wrong. The devil always brings up the past because he wants to paralyze God's people. What did Jesus tell the woman that was cast at his feet and condemned? She was condemned by the Pharisees. They said she ought to die. But when Jesus got done writing in the sand, looking up and saying, "Where are thine accusers?" "They're not here." He says, "Neither condemn I you either." He said, "Go and sin no more." He told several people that, "Go and sin no more. Let go of the past. Don't let the past keep you from moving forward in your relationship with the Lord." Do we fail at times? There's not a single person that's perfect. When you find them, let me know. You'll have people that say that they're perfect. I don't remember his name. We were watching Little House a while back. Dylan, what is that? Anyway, I forget the guy's name, but he's on Little House. We was watching it. This guy, he came to town. He was, I think he was a poet or something. Anyway, Almanzo said to him, "What, do you think you're perfect?" He goes, "Yeah, I am." Because he could do a bunch of different stuff and whatever. I mean, there are people that have that ego that they're perfect. But listen, that's the beauty of your life. It's not perfect. But the one you follow is, and that's Jesus Christ. And he makes your life perfect because you can't go wrong with him. When he says, "Follow me, You can't go wrong. Never get your eyes off of Jesus Christ. And that's what he says in verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you understand this morning that God truly does want to bless your life? God truly does want to show himself great and mighty in your life, but sometimes we hinder that because we're holding on to our past life. We're holding on to past failures. We're holding on to past hurts. And that's why he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Will you ever forget your past? No. You won't think about it every day. But there'll be days when something comes to your mind, the devil just wants you to run with it. The devil just wants to, like, bother you with it. And that's why the Bible tells us that we are to keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. That's why Paul says, I press toward the mark. And somebody might think, go ahead and stand if you would. We'll close here in just a second. Somebody might think, well, yeah, you know, Paul was he was a great guy. I mean, he was a super Christian. He was used mightily of God. I mean, everywhere he went, people got saved. Churches were started. I mean, you got to be a super Christian to sit in a prison cell at midnight. You have no idea what's going to happen. You don't know if you're going to live, if you're going to die. I mean, you got to be super, super spiritual to just start singing and praising God. No, because in one of his letters, Paul lists out his problems. He lists out his past, where he was a murderer. He murdered Christians. He persecuted the church. He talks about the bad things he did, but he says, I count all that dung. I forget all of that. Because you know what? I have a new life in Christ. My focus has to be on the Lord so I can move forward. Because you know what? If you're always looking behind you, you're going to trip and fall. But if you're looking straight ahead, you can see where you're going. And as you see Christ guiding you and saying, follow me, you can't go wrong. Remember the foundation that's been laid, and that's Jesus Christ. It's not just the foundation for salvation. It's the foundation for our entire life until we see him face to face.